This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Scan the QR code up there. We talk about questions relevant and related to the subject of our discussion that we had tonight before Salah, inshallah. The first question, sometimes I stay silent because if I speak, I'll get angry. My tone might change and might lose my temper. And sometimes my silence makes others even angrier. What should I do? We're going to cover that next week, inshallah ta'ala. You speak when speaking is better for you, and you go quiet when being quiet is better for you. If you're going to always just use silence as an escape from facing reality and answering a question and being, you know, in a conversation with someone, then that is not really a strategic silence, yani. This is just an escape, and no one would like that. But when you go quiet, you go quiet on purpose. You go quiet because it's a strategic silence. That is what the Prophet ﷺ is speaking about. We're going to talk about this next week, inshallah, because the ulama, they say, which one is better? Is it better to speak right or stay quiet, you know, against evil? Which one is better? Is it virtuous to speak good or is it virtuous to remain silent when there is something evil happening, yani? So that's an issue of argument. You're going to see that next week, inshallah. Some ulama, they say, no, speaking actually is still better. Because your silence, even though your silence is virtue in that moment when everybody's speaking ill, but you're speaking, you're staying quiet right now. So your silence, in this regard, benefits only you. But if you speak khair, someone else might benefit from that. So definitely sometimes, and many times, speaking good is better for you. Other ulama, they say, no, wait. If you speak, your chances of making mistake is higher. So therefore, you better be quiet. But we're going to see when it's better for you to speak and when it's better for you to be silent. Inshallah, it's going to come next week. What if someone says something horrible in the past and it cannot be reversed, like some ghiba, for instance, or some bad words, but he realized that and repented? Will the repentance not remove the sin of that? Well, repentance, as you know, will be accepted if you fulfill the conditions for it. And there are three conditions if there was done between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the haqq of Allah azza wa jal. So first of all, you need to abstain from that sin, you need to regret, and you need to commit, you never go back again to it. But if it has something to do with people, such as you had haqq of the ibad, financial for instance, that you owe somebody money, you give it back to them. And if it's something such as saying ghiba about somebody, some ulama, they say, look, you need to measure it, engage the situation. If speaking to them about what you did 2 years ago is gonna make things worse, then better not to speak to them. Rather, go to the majalis, the places where you spoke ill about this individual, and change your words. If you can't be in the same places, then look for the people. If you can't find the people that you spoke ill in front of them about this individual, you go to them and you let them know what you said was wrong and haram and this and that and so on, and you just ask Allah for forgiveness for it. And then make dua for this individual. But if you know speaking to this individual, he's going to be, or she's going to tell you, Jazakallah khair, thank you for being honest with me, I really appreciate that, Barakallah fiqh, Alhamdulillah, you're forgiven. Then go ahead, seek forgiveness from them. Wallahu a'lam. So in today's time, we're bombarded with news headlines about people, some of which can be considered backbiting. How do we differentiate between what is news from backbiting? I mean, I don't know if you talk about specific individuals or talk about news in the world, for example. If it's news in the world, you don't have to have an opinion. Just listen to it and that's it. But if it's something that you know particularly, then in this case, what do you have to do with it? Is this information has something to do with you? Do you have to take an action? Does that affect, you know, the way you're going to live your day and your ibadah and whatever that is? If there is something related to you, then get involved in one way or another. So this is news that you need to verify, to talk about, and so on. So, but if it has nothing to do with you individually and personally, then stay out of it. That would be backbiting and could be namima if you continue to carry that attitude with somebody else. For the man who speaks a word and knows not what he has incurred of sin from it, how can one be forgiven if he knows? If he knows not what he said, will he be forgiven in any general forgiveness he does during the day? Well, you might like the question is basically, sometimes I say things, I have no idea if I said something early in the day that was actually devastating to somebody. I have no idea. How would I know that? How can I be forgiven for something that was devastating, but I have no clue that I devastated someone else's life? What do I do in this case? In this case, keep asking Allah for forgiveness. The wudu that you do every time, alhamdulillah, it effaces the sins. The salawat, they efface the sins. Coming to the masjid does the same thing. Fasting does the same thing. So we're always seeking forgiveness, inshallah. If it was something from the saghair, alhamdulillah, should be forgiven. If not, you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like the Prophet says in the dua, he used to say, مَا عَلِمْتُمْ مَا عَلِمْنَا مِنْهُ وَلَمْ نَعْلَمْ قَالَ اللَّهُمَّ فَلَنَا ذُنُوبَ اللَّهُمَّ اغْفَرْ لِي ذَنْبِي كُلَّهُ Ya Allah, forgive me all my sins. دِقَّهُ وَجِلَّهُ means the little and the big. The little and the many. أَوَّلَهُ وَآخِرَهُ the first and the last. سِرَّهُ وَعَلَانِيَتَهُ the private and the public. مَا عَلِمْتُ مِنْهُ وَمَا لَمْ أَعْلَمْ what I know about and what I have nothing, no knowledge of. So when you make this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I hope it will include these words that you say without even paying attention to. Na'am. Is there a punishment for breaking a voluntary fast without reason? The answer is no. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, قَالْ أَصَّائِمُ أَمِيرُ نَفْسِهِ When you fast, you are amir of yourself. You can continue that fast, you can break that fast. Does arguing, fighting, cursing break your fast? It doesn't, but definitely it would reduce your reward. And what's the point? Like we said, this would be... Remember we said that Imam Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah, or Ibn Qudama actually, he mentioned three levels of fasting. The fasting of the layman, and the fasting of the few, select, and the fasting of the elite, right? The fasting of the layman is what? Just stop eating and drinking, but they indulge in everything else. Backbiting, yelling, cursing, and all that stuff and so on. What kind of fasting is that? That's the layman's fast. But the few select are those khusus. When they fast, they don't just fast from eating and drinking. They also watch their tongue, what their ears and their eyes, what they're saying, what they're doing. And there is the fasting of the elite. That's the fasting of the heart. Even the heart is conscious of what thoughts, what intentions, what himam comes into it. So it doesn't break the fast, but definitely it affects the reward. Can you give the fasting of the cream of the crop? Can you give some example of how one's mind would only be concerned with Allah and not the dunya, when one might still be working and doing through daily chores? Subhanallah, that is again when person reaches that level of purification, as we quote Imam Ibn al-Ghazali rahimahullah quote, "Qal taharatu sir, taharatu al-jawhar." If you remember, we talked about five levels of purification. The purification of the physical purification, taharatul al-his, taharatul al-amal, then al-jawarih, like that, the purification of your deeds, taharatul qalb, the purification of the heart, taharatul khatir, the purification of the thought, wa taharatul jawhar or al-his, al-jawhar, which is where the purification of the essence. When someone reaches that level of the purification of the essence, what does that mean? They only see Allah's beauty and Allah's hikmah and wisdom and power and everything that is surrounding them. So even when you're working, you're engaging in ibadah and ta'ah because your heart and your mind and your thoughts are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even as you go after your daily chores, you're always so engaged in ta'ah and ibadah. And by the way, wallahi, I've seen this with my own eyes. There were people in Masjid Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. People in Masjid Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they used to actually volunteer to clean and help and so on. And as they do that, they were reciting Quran. The Quran, the reviewing Quran, I was just looking just like subhanAllah. Like their heart is so much attached to the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, cleaning doesn't distract them from their hifz and their memorization. They're so focused, even while they're doing chores. Imagine if someone is constantly in that level of dhikr. So none of these chores will distract them from having that kind of consciousness. So imagine when you fast and at that level. Your heart is attached. Your fasting is not just about abstaining from food. Like, being hungry doesn't bother you anymore. Really, when people say, oh my God, it's too hot. And for you, just like, what do you mean? Because that's completely, you don't even pay attention to these physical circumstances. Because your fast is something that you observe in your heart at the highest level. There are many questions, actually, they're relevant to the subject, yani. what should you do if your siblings and parents love to speak about anything and everything? Most times this talk is about useless things, like comparing people. Like, comparing people is not useless, right? It's dangerous. Be careful with that. But speaking about homes and things and so on, how do you deal with this, especially if you are a person that prefers silence and there is no escaping the situation? I'm not able to go somewhere else to avoid these people. Well, if you can gently change the subject, that would be great. If not, gentle reminder, Jama'ah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them with what Allah has given them and bless us with something better. So making dua for them and for yourself as a reminder as well too. If that doesn't stop, you let them know, Jama'ah, why should we bother talking about other people? Let's focus on ourselves, inshallah ta'ala. If that doesn't help, then at least you did your part. Can you leave the room? I mean, if you can, you should. You should. There's no obligation to stay in these kind of gatherings. But if you could not because of the circumstances, just may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for being there, just make dhikr. Let them talk whatever they want to talk about and just make dhikr. Can you make general tawbah for backbiting and not for a specific incident? Of course, you can make tawbah in general. Like you said, مَا عَلِمْتُ مِنْهُمَا لَمْ أَعْلَمْ Ya Allah, I seek forgiveness from you and with you from what I know, what I've done, and what I don't know about it. What is the scope of neighbors in the sense of the being good to your neighbors? This is something we're going to discuss next week, inshallah ta'ala. Some of the ulama, they say, defining neighbor is actually is an interesting thing. Is it the one who's right next to you? Is it the one who's behind you? Is the one related to you? What kind of neighbors were we talking about? Or is it the neighbor who is your neighbor when you go on a journey, when you travel? You know those neighbors, you have your roommates basically? Or when you go to Hajj, you have four people, or you have a whole tent. Are these now your neighbors? Actually, they classify as neighbors. But what is the meaning of the hadith when the Prophet says, take care of your neighbors? We're going to discuss that more next week, inshallah. Argument. During arguments with my wife, I try my best staying silent. But even the few words I say get me in trouble. When completely silent, I still get in trouble. What do I do, Ya Sheikh? See counseling, you're lying. Look at Jama'ah. This is a kind of tangent a little bit, but I think it's very important to mention here. One of the biggest problems is that between husband and wife is not the communication part, it's the connection part. The communication happens whether you speak or you're silent. Because even when you're silent, you're communicating. What you're communicating right now might be something negative. And your absence, the absence of words, and your silence can be deafening, can be louder than actual words, especially if your silence was used as a weapon. So it becomes really dangerous. So therefore, you need to make sure that when you speak, you connect. So how do I connect with my spouse? Just a quick formula for you over here to understand that when women talk, or when men talk, they share information usually. Men, they focus on information, task list, things to do, their day, what happened here and there, like technical. That's what they talk about. Women, when they talk, they share their feelings in their words, how they feel about what they're saying. So sometimes the words for women are irrelevant or used differently than men. So when men are listening to their wives, what they're looking for? They're focusing on the content, the words. And they answer to what they hear. And if they answer to only what they hear, they're most likely going to miss the point. And they're going to answer to the wrong thing. Because the sisters, when she speaks, she doesn't necessarily mean what she's saying. She's just saying things. Basically because she wants to express her feelings about it. And when a woman listens to her husband, what is she exactly focusing on? She's focusing right now on the context, not the content. She's focusing more on how he's saying his words, not what he's saying. So therefore, no matter what you're saying, even if you're reciting Quran like Minshawi, but if you're doing that in a condescending way, she's not going to listen to you. So therefore, we never connect. So connection is extremely, extremely important. So for the brothers, you need to understand when you speak to your spouse, it's not the few words that you say. It's how you say them matter more, really, and why. I'll give an example. A young couple one time, actually, they were arguing, and then the lady, she goes, then he got upset with me. He got upset with me, and he stopped talking to me for a whole week. The guy said, no, they were only 3 days. She goes, really? Like, what happened here is that when she said for a whole week, Did she really mean 7 days? What did she mean when she said a whole week? A long time. It felt like a whole week. The guy, being a typical guy, focused on the word. He heard the word 7 weeks, so he thought of it was what? 7 days. And for him, it's just like, oh my God, she's been upset for the wrong reason. Let me tell you, there were only 3 days, not seven. And for her, just like, seriously? Like, for her, he validated her pain. Like, he doesn't allow her to feel it was like a week. So she was upset, not for what the word he said, it's for being insensitive about what she said. So therefore, if you would like to connect the Jama'ah, you need to, you need to be what? SubhanAllah. And you have to learn how to decipher these words for both brothers and sisters. So learning how to connect is much more important than how to communicate. Extremely important. In the online world, there's a lot of gossip. How do you avoid this? What do you guys suggest? Stay away from bad things, right? Better than that, disconnect. What's holding you and to keep just looking at that? Just, oh my God, keeping afloat. Yeah. Why do you have to go through with this? Just go away from it. Tear it off. Move on somewhere else. So you have to control yourself. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you, all your families, ya Rabbil Alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.